Come take my hand and see the world around you. The time is right, just let the light surround you. And step by step, you feel it coming alive. The feeling deep down inside, and you've got nothing to hide. To reach the top, you've gotta keep on moving. Don't let it stop, just gotta keep on moving. I know you're doing your best, you're stepping up from the rest. Just keep on passing the test.
Pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another episode of Untapped Potential right here on TDN Radio. Yes, so it is great to be back with you for another episode of Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone right here on TDN Radio. So I hope that your week is off to a great start. As we look at the calendar, today is August 15th. So let's take a look, make sure I'm correct. Yep, so it's already August 15th, 2023. So welcome to the program. As you already know, if you're a regular listener, this is where we stop by each and every week to get energized and powered up for the week ahead and to remind ourselves of the important life goals that we have set out for ourselves. So this program in particular is all about how do we remain consistent with those life goals that we have set out for ourselves, and how do we move forward on those life goals. So I'm so happy that you're joining us today for another episode of Untapped Potential. And we always like to start the program on a note of gratitude. So what are you grateful for today? What are you grateful for this week? As for me, I'm grateful for great friends. We had our usual monthly neighbor dinner. We have a special set of friends with the last name Barnes, Mr. and Mrs. Barnes, and their children, who we enjoy a one monthly dinner. So we alternate. This month, it was their month, so we were invited to dinner to their home. And then next month will be our turn, and we will invite them and their family to dinner at our home. So we're grateful. We're grateful for the company of great friends and loved ones, and we're grateful for life and health. And as always, if you cannot find anything to be grateful for, just remember that you woke up this morning. So that is already a great place to start with regards to being grateful. So we have another great program for you this evening. This evening, our program will be an interview I did recently with Mr. Adrian Banis. So Mr. Adrian Banis from Banis Farms in Castlebrooks, Dominica, has stopped by to tell us everything that he's working on in terms of creating a model farm in Dominica, in terms of ecotourism, in terms of all the ways that he has thought of how to create employment, agro-processing, accommodating tourists who visit his farm tours. So Mr. Banis is one of those people who has been blessed with many great ideas, and he is not taking it for granted. He has implemented many of them, and so he is a powerhouse. And we were grateful that he reached out to say that he wanted to be a part of what we do here with Untapped Potential, Push Past 10, Roots Connections. And what we do is work to see how we can advance the lives of our Dominican brothers and sisters at home and abroad. So we were very grateful that he reached out to us to say he wanted to be a part of what we're doing to advance Dominica. So today I will play you the first part of our interview with Mr. Banis, and because the information is so powerful, I will be sure to bring you the second half of the interview with Mr. Banis next week, so you can see all the wonderful ideas that he has for moving Dominica forward. And as always, if you too want to be a part of the movement to move our beautiful island in the Caribbean region forward, you can always contact me like many people are doing right now. So I'm getting quite a few people who are reaching out to me to say, hey, I want to be a part of the movement in terms of moving our Caribbean people forward. You can reach me at pushpast10@gmail.com, pushpast10@gmail.com, and I will be sure to repeat the information at the end of the program. But as we get started, let us enjoy this number from Morgan Heritage, one of my favorite bands. And this one is entitled Down by the River. So again, let's enjoy this number from Morgan Heritage, Down by the River. And then we will go straight into our interview with Mr. Adrian Banas out of Casabrus, Dominica. Stay tuned. Talking about with the CBI program and the serious threat of collapsing, what is the way forward for growing Dominica's economy? So here is where I want to get this conversation begin, Mr. Banas. You know, we recently witnessed the presentation of the budget in Dominica, the 2023 budget, and someone can correct me if I am wrong, but what I did not hear was a long-term plan for developing Dominica's economy. As a matter of fact, Ronald Landa, I listened to a program with Ronald last week, and he called it an integrated development plan for growing Dominica's economy. So Ronald, thank you. You know, that is what we do here on Q95. We educate our audience. So Ronald, thank you for that terminology. So an integrated development plan for growing Dominica beyond that 1 year reading of the budget that we heard last week. So my thought process is to look at all that you are doing, Mr. Banas, and to create that development plan beyond the 1 year, and instead create a vision of how everything that you're doing can be put into a plan for moving Dominica forward. So let us begin with agriculture, because that is the base of our economy in Dominica, with our lush soil, our sunshine, our abundance of water. That should be at the core of any development plan in Dominica. So tell us about your business in agriculture, especially as it relates to the model farms.
Well, agriculture, I've been in agriculture from since I left school. I remember back home, I planted my first banana, and then I started from there. And then I started going to the farm where we had our garden in the mountain. And I planted my first dashing plot, and that came out very nice. And from there, I continue to love agriculture. Without food, we cannot live. We must eat, and not just eating food, but our food we must eat good food, and food that can give the body nutrients. And sometimes and I remember during the banana boom that when we were really, really involved in the banana production, and where we started from the natural way of brewing our food and started using a lot of pesticide and gram of soil and chemical that allowed the soil to get so acidic. And I remember when during that boom, and we were coming to the latter part when Europe wanted to just mess around and try to see how they can get us out of the market. Late Demogenius Charles said to us, "Do not put all your eggs in one basket." Yep. And we need to diversify. And farmers took her lightly. And when we lost the banana industry, farmers had to grapple and try to see where they can go. Some farmers left the industry. We tried our best to see if we could maintain that, but that did not work. But now we have another opportunity because we are looking at having food security. And when we talk about food security, this must be a long-term plan. It cannot be a short term. And be having a long-term plan, you must put the necessary structures in place. And what the structure I'm talking about is to get the farmers who are productive, number one, involved and ensuring that you assist them in getting whatever assistance to develop what they have started. And after Hurricane Maria, it was really, really devastating. And I went on my farm and I saw what happened. I stayed there for a while. I remember I said to my wife, "Hey, not only in the next 20 years we can come back and plant there," because it was really bad. Everything got destroyed. And I remember a few breadfruit trees. I went, I took them, I put them up, I gave them dirt, I tied them up. And then I went back home and relaxing. And then I came up with that idea of establishing a model farm concept. And that model farm concept is a concept where it is climate smart agriculture. So I did all my drainage and I went into agroforestry. And my style of agroforestry that I plant a lot of exotic plants, a lot of fruits, and also I plant a lot of crops that can fight the adverse weather condition, like pineapples, passion fruit. Plantain is a very good crop, so I didn't get rid of the plantains because people love plantain. And then I moved into other crops like cocoa, and I plant, and now I have some animals on my farm, which is moving into a full-blown climate smart farm. I also do water harvesting. So the model farm in itself is really establishing a farm that when you come there, you can learn and you can experience what we are doing on the farm. And that's what makes it so beautiful. Even myself, sometimes I go on the farm, I just sit and I just look around. And what I realize, every fruit season, I have fruits. Mm-hmm. So there's not one season that I do not have any fruits. Coconut, I have a lot of jelly now. Then if there is guava, I have guava in abundance. Guava cherry, I have guava cherry. I have sapodilla. I have oranges, and I have grapefruit, all kind of different fruits. So I believe that as farmers, what we need to do now is to go into an integrated way of farming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and tell us about your successes and how are you taking that model farm beyond your farm into other areas of Dominica?
Well, right now we are working with with farmers across the island. Mm-hmm. We have a project that is called the Living Lab Project, And that project was initiated by a group called Cambionet. It's a French organization. And that French organization, we are looking at a whole ecosystem way of developing agriculture in a more friendly environment, which means that we want to protect the environment whilst we plant and we grow our food. We want to get away, we're trying to move away from all this pesticide and these chemicals that we use and look at more using more organic manure and also planting trees that will go back into the soil. For instance, with the model farm I'm developing, I recognize that under the breadfruit tree, you have no weeds. So breadfruit leaves really help to control the weeds. And not just that, you have breadfruit now that you can eat. You can eat as a staple. Also, you can use it and you can process it. And one of the things I discover is we need to plant food that we can process, something that we can process. So we're looking at the entire value chain. So it's not just about planting, reaping, selling to the fresh market, but also we can sell to the fresh market, but we also have our excess. Instead of throwing it or dumping it, what we do, we add value to it. So that's why I developed that chips, and I'm looking at flour now. I'm looking at also dry fruit. So all my excess, I can get it back. Mm-hmm. I can add value to it. And also the waste, what is not good, I can now use it back in the farm for composting. So we talk about circular economy, but agriculture is the model for circular economy because right. It shows that all what you use can go back into the soil, and then it can now build the land again and also help the crops produce their fruit.
Right, and I'm so happy that you mentioned this, because one of the things I want to talk about this evening as we talk about an integrated development plan is that we already have the branding available to us because we're considered Nature Island of the Caribbean. Right. So just listening to you talk about sustainable farming and ensuring nothing goes to waste just kind of reminds me that this could be a part of the branding in terms of Nature Island Dominica, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Now, that sounds like a project that the Ministry of Agriculture would certainly be interested in, because here you have a model farm and you're willing to take it throughout the island to other farming communities. And again, we talk about farming and agriculture being the base of our economy. So have you approached the Ministry of Agriculture? Have you received any support from the Ministry of Agriculture for your model farm?
Well, yes, we are all working together because Good. We must bring all the stakeholders together Good. To make sure we make it a success. Mm-hmm. And when they have certain programs, they come there and do some programs, some research. And mm-hmm. I have had people coming from schools, people coming from agencies like CIRAD. They came and to look at different species of planting that I have. We had some people coming from the UK, and these people, they were elderlies, but they came and see what we were doing on our farm so they could go back and practice it. And they were very, very happy, and they were very pleased with what they saw. So it is not just building something for myself, but I want to ensure that people can come and learn and to experience what we are doing. And when they come, we also allow them to have an experience, a taste of the food that we cook, of the fruits that is being grown there. So it is something that we are bringing in people. And also I have a river next side. You can go there and take a bath and relax yourself. We just had a team come in 2 weeks back, and I think they are from Dominica, but they live in the US. I forgot their name.
Yep. It's Innovate My World.
Right.
Gail Bruni right. is listening. Good evening, Gail. Thank you for logging on. And she just reminded me that as part of the Innovate My World summer camp, and she's going to be on our program as well, because she too and her program, they're doing wonderful things for the young people of Dominica. And she just reminded me that she did a farm tour with you. So tell us about the farm tours.
Yes, the game. So as I said, when you come there, we give you a history of the farm, the history of the community, how the Cassibus estate became into the hands of the farmers. we give you a history of what we do, a background of our family. It's a family business that we have. Then we give you a farm tour. Then you will go there and you enjoy the fruits. And then you come back and we give you coconut water to drink. Mm-hmm. And which, I mean, it's so good that you can drink a fresh coconut water on the farm. And then you can see how we work on the farm and what we are doing on the farm. And that in itself can bring some revelation, bring some insight to you that you can go back and share with somebody. And we want to really improve and grow our farm talk. We know, well, we have just started, but there are more things that we need to put together. And I am moving forward to build a natural restaurant. So you can come in a couple months from now. When you come, you'll be able to get all natural foods. Everything will be from the farm. There'll be nothing. We're going to buy anything in the store. So you'll drink a natural drink. You'll eat natural food. And then you will be able to recognize that we can do it without going into the stores and buy all these foreign foods.
Yes.
Sometimes it hurts my heart when I see people are queuing up in KFC line. I tell myself, what kind of generation we are going to have tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's unfortunate.
This is what our parents grew on, eating all the natural foods. And I always say, from the time that my parents left their natural foods and start going to the stores and sell all their cocoa, sell all their natural things, and then go into the store and buy things like chocolate, Milo, and these things, and start buying all that chicken that they used to buy, you find their diet change and sickness start to attack their body. Absolutely. And I think we can reverse that, because if we are conscious and we understand what natural food is to the body. I always say it is about your health is your wealth.
Absolutely.
And what you eat must be a medicine. And that's why I'm focusing on planting stuff that are medicines.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm so happy you're giving us this information this evening, because we can already see that the benefits are for Dominicans, but it also impacts the tourism industry. Because one of the things I've come to realize since COVID-19 is that there's a big demand for experiential tourism, where people want to come and experience the country. And so it sounds like that is what you're doing. Not only are you giving the people a tour of the farm, but you're also giving them a taste of the farm. And you're also giving them the experience of going to the river. And I know, because we've spoken before, that you have the intention of creating a stage and providing them with entertainment. So it is a whole experience that is now taking us beyond just agriculture, but also into impacting the tourism sector. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes, I'm working right now also with a tourism group. It is called the Ansquanary Tourism Association. We have been there since 2015, and we are looking forward to develop the Bayfront and to do things like sports tourism. Also, we want to ensure that at the end of a quarter, we can have entertainment. So we are looking at community tourism. So people can come not just for one day. Well, we appreciate the cruise tourism, but we are looking at people coming and stay over, let's say, for a week or a couple of days. And then they can enjoy Dominica, enjoy customers, enjoy the communities. And then at the end of the week or their stay, we can have a place where we can come and provide entertainment for them. Well, my kind of entertainment really is our traditional music.
Yes.
Because if you look at our traditional music, it's really dying away. Mm-hmm. And they have mixed it up with so many different things. But we have people that we can bring together that can still promote traditional music, like the ballet, the quadrille, and the folk songs. And all the other nice stories that we used to learn, and create something that people can enjoy and people can go back and reflect back to see that it's not about the olden days. We are not bringing back the olden days, but we are keeping the culture alive.
Yeah, and that is what people want to experience. They want to experience the authentic Dominica, because one of the things that baffles my mind is we're literally the only island in the Caribbean with a Kalinago territory. And right. yet we have not figured out a way to capitalize on the fact that we're the only island where you can come and see the indigenous people before the colonizers came, before the African slaves came. The Kalinago people were there. And we are the only island in the Caribbean that still has a Kalinago territory. And we haven't figured out a way to capitalize on that. And speaking about experiential tourism, tourists would pay to come and have that experience with the Kalinago people.
But again, I will say that to you. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish.
People perish.
And what you find in the Kalinago, if the people really sit down and begin to recognize how important the territory is, how important and the culture, how important it is to the world. Mm-hmm. And then they begin to put program in place and begin to educate their people. I think that they can really get something out of it. Mm-hmm. And everything that we do, education is very important. And not just education, but you must have a vision. You should not only think for now, but you should look at a long term. You should look at the long term and what the next generation, so the next generation can take it and move with it. But sometimes we just agree, well, that's how it is. We just go along. But there is so much. I always say, Dominica is so rich.
Oh, yeah.
It's so rich. We have the rivers. And when you go to other places, I mean, I went to Suriname. We call it Suriname. And when I saw the river, man, you have to cross to go to French Guiana. Man, I was so afraid because of the water is so dirty. And it's so large, but the water is not clean. You cannot bathe in that. In Dominica, you can bathe in partly every river that you see. So we have so much. We have the sand, both white and black. How are we going to develop the black sand and allow people to enjoy the black sand? We have the crabs. We have all the natural food to eat. So what we have to do is to make sure that we put it together and we package it right, mm-hmm. and we offer it to the world.
Yeah, and like I just said, you brand everything under right. the brand of Nature Island Dominica, because everything we've talked about so far—the agriculture, the tourism, the Kalinago right. people—already falls under the integrated development plan, and the brand is Nature Island Dominica. But in your description, Mr. Banners, the only thing I didn't hear you talk about for the tourists are accommodations. Do you have accommodations?
Yes, we have accommodations.
You've thought about everything.
We have accommodation. Accommodation is not a problem. And there are people, we have accommodation for different people, because you know there are people, they are hikers and they would like to just sleep on a hammock under a mm-hmm. open place. We have that. We have houses, we have restaurants, we have hotels, but as I said, community tourism, we want to keep it simple. Mm-hmm. We want to keep it simple. So you will have the people come in and they will enjoy. The people can even come and live with you and share, because I remember we had some French students who came to my home and they really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we gave them everything and we taught them how to cook our food. They cooked, they made juice. And they were so excited about that.
Yes.
So this is the kind of the kind of thing that we would like to do, the kind of work that we would like to do in Dominica, and we would like not just to attract attract certain people, but we want to attract everybody to make sure that everybody enjoy the mm-hmm. natural.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, and we have to think of it with our own experiences as well, because we just came back from Cuba a couple of weeks ago, and I mean, I was so fascinated to experience their culture, right? I was fascinated to see, you know, how they roll the cigars. I was fascinated, you know, about their cuisine. I was fascinated with their music and their dance. So when we think of it, of people, you know, to us, it's just, you know, Dominica, because that is what we grew up in. But think of someone coming in and never having experienced Dominica. And the good thing about it with social media, if people have a good experience, they are more likely to share their experience and have even more people come to your shows. But, you know, I just want to stay on this for just 1 minute because, of course, I know you're not an economist. And, you know, Dr. Thompson Fontaine could probably give us a better analysis. But it's just kind of frightening when you think of the implications of 58% of our economy being reliant on the CBI. I mean, that is a little bit scary for me. And it just begs the question, why wasn't that money put towards some of what we are talking about?
Right, because
to grow the economy.
Yeah, to grow the economy, especially in the area of Dominica doesn't have not one factory, you know, to process anything. Okay, mm-hmm. And I think as a NATO island, we should have at least one or two or couple factories. Mm-hmm. And if I was the government, what I would have done: each region, we have 7 regions in agriculture. Each region should have a factory, and they would process different things. I know there are people who do great cassava bread, and there are people who continue to develop the cassava. There are those that do oils, coconut oil. You have people who do juices. I passed in town yesterday, I was passing up in a certain area, and I saw Nature Fresh, and they just opened a place. And I was so happy to see that, and I was saying, wow, Nature Fresh is really moving. And that's what happens when you have a vision. You start small, but you grow it, and let it become something that people can enjoy. Mm-hmm. And I really want to big up Nature Fresh for what they are doing. And so it is not just about doing things for you, but also you are serving people, and people can come and enjoy what you are doing.
Yeah, and we can already see that so many of our businesses use the word nature. We have Nature's Fresh, we have Nature's Touch, we have Nature's Blend. I mean, I'm missing some of them. But so many of our businesses already use the word nature. So it is a matter of putting all of it together and creating that integrated business plan.
Yeah, that brand.
But beyond 1 year.
Right.
I mean, if you think about it, just a regular household with a regular family, many families have 5-year plans, whether it is to get the children through school so we can have more time to go on vacation, or it is, you know, planning for retirement or getting that promotion. We all have plans that go beyond 1 year. So it just baffles me to think that a country is only looking at a 1-year plan. Every year we have to come back and talk about another 1-year plan. Where's the vision? Where's the vision for where the country is going and what you would like to see for the people in 5 years? So that is certainly something that baffles me.
And it's not just that. You have a 5-year mandate.
Yes.
So why give a 1-year plan?
Right.
I mean, it's just common sense. If you have a 5-year mandate, you should be able to give
your
a 5-year plan.
Stretch out for 5 years.
Right.
Right.
And then when you come back, you report on what happened and how you're going to, what were your challenges and how you're going to now move it into the second year. Mm-hmm. But it's not coming back with another budget, with another year plan. And I think sometimes, you know, I don't know, but people who are, they call themselves technicians. Right? They call themselves technicians, and they sit there, the brain box of the nation. But I don't know where their vision is, where their dream is, where their passion is. Because to do that, you must have a passion for something. Anything that you are doing, if you don't have passion, you are not going to really achieve much.
Right. Well, and you also have you have to have the passion, but you also have the skill, have to have the skill of the people.
Yes,
I think in my mind, I think any political party that goes up to try to represent the country should have an economist.
Yeah,
as one of the members that is being presented, because it's so vital. Economic development, you need an economist, right? And in my mind, you know, we hear about political strategists for keeping governments in place. But do we hear about business strategists? Do we have business strategists for growing the economy in Dominica? I've never heard about a business strategist. Have you?
No, never. And you spoke about Cuba. I was in Cuba and I was really, really happy to see what Cuba offers. And we went to some various districts.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, simple things.
Mm-hmm.
People come and enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
And here we may try to do something that we think, well, we can do something that is so elaborate.
Mm-hmm.
But the simple thing, this is what people come and enjoy because they are integrating into the community, into the life of the people,
mm-hmm.
and they're enjoying the food that the people eat with them. And yes. they value that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I went to another place, Suriname. And I think Suriname is a very, very nice country. I mean, it's very flat, but and underdeveloped also when I look at Suriname. But the culture there is so rich, and the people there, I saw they had some dances,
mm-hmm.
Real cultural dances, which was very good. They have food. And then they had like the jackfruit.
Mm-hmm.
In Dominica, we see a jackfruit, and maybe we might laugh or we might say we don't care about that. And they made so much good ice cream from that jackfruit.
Now think about all the mangoes that are just falling towards right. Dominica right now.
Yes. Right? So what I think we are missing in Dominica is the creative mind,
mm-hmm.
right? And the innovative mind. Sometimes that's why when some people see a person going to something and they start doing it, everybody go into it.
Yep.
You need to find out what your niche is. Because if you want to go into everything people going into, you will fall by the way, you know, because remember, it is not your dream. It is not your vision. So it's only those who are, if it's your dream and your vision, your passion, you'll remain. You will go through the challenges. You'll go through the difficult times, but you'll remain there until you begin to strive. So
yeah.
We have to rethink agriculture, and that can integrate the young people so they can come on board. And one of the things that I would like to suggest is that we look at the group model, because we do not have a lot of farmers. So what the best thing to do is to have a group model, so we can have the production, and then we can, and there we're talking about the branding. Because if you have a group and we are operating as groups, we can have one brand and everybody giving to that brand.
Mm-hmm.
And when you sell, everybody will benefit. But if you want to be the lone farmer in Casablanca, the lone farmer in Rosa, the lone farmer, you're not going to go far. And there'll always be a shortage of produce, a shortage of
mm-hmm.
whatever we are doing, because our population is small. All right, we don't have a big population. So if we don't have a big population, we have to make sure that we do things that we can use in our country, but also we can add value and we can export. We are not really exporting.
And then if you think about it as well, Mr. Banis, just having that integrated development plan, it can guide so many important decisions, because it would guide in terms of where students are given scholarships to what fields right. to pursue. Because if you have a plan, then it tells you what your needs are in certain areas. Maybe we need somebody with more expertise in agriculture. Maybe we need somebody with more expertise in climate resistance, resilient agriculture. Maybe we need somebody with expertise in areas A, B, and C. But having a plan creates direction
right,
and it yeah. guides your decisions
yes.
in terms of what is needed.
Mm.
So I think it is important on so many different levels. But I want to make sure we also talk about agro-processing. So I have to tell you, we've covered quite a bit already, Mr. Banis, because in terms of that integrated plan that we're talking about, and it, you know, I'm not gonna dwell on this because we all know that the policy doesn't exist, but it just, to me, it makes intuitive sense to have one plan, one umbrella, one brand, and then everything lines up underneath that brand. But let us talk about agro-processing and how you got started and what you're currently doing.
Well, it's really a long story, but I can also condense. I remember when I was born on the other side of the river that's called Toronto. Mm-hmm. And we had this huge estate called CDC. So I had to pass under the bananas every afternoon after school, every morning to go to school, cross the river to go home. And every time you have like September, October, you would have a lot of rain, a lot of wind, and all these bananas would be lying on the ground. And you would have some huge bunches. And every afternoon I pass, I used to say, I have to turn you into something that is going to make money. Mm-hmm. And I would stand up by the banana, take the ripe bananas, eat them, and I used to say, I have to turn you into something positive. Mm-hmm. And I remember a time when I started pastoring a church, and then I went to St. Lucia and I started preaching there. And after I preached, a guy came to me and he said to me, I like the message that you preach. I'm going to come to Dominica. Mm. So he came to Dominica. He called me up and he said, I'm coming. Pick me up at the airport. So I went and picked him up at the airport. When I went to the airport, he came down with a sealer and some plastic bags. Mm. And when he came, he told me he's going to teach me how to make chips. Mm. That time I had a lot of plantains and they were there and they were not selling. And then when he came, he told me, well, in Jamaica, they are doing banana chips and we can do plantain chips. So we started with the fire, started on a pot with fire. That thing is to burn your eyes. Mm. And the first time we made 60 packs, I went down to the village as soon as I reached All Soul. And then I came back up. And from that, I have been more packs. And then we bought a stove. And then that stove now, we started frying the chips. And we organized a little bag with a label. And we started selling the chips on the shelf. And that time you had Sheridan Gregory, I remember he had that place you call I try to remember the name. That's the same place Mr. Ronald Landa was working. Then I went there and we had an expo in Guadeloupe, in Martinique, and they brought me to that expo. And you know, from there, I started traveling to the entire Caribbean in expos. And then I went to Taiwan. Mm-hmm. And I did a course in food technology. When I went by the Taiwanese ambassador and I gave him some chips, when he ate it, he said to me, this thing is so nice, I'm going to send it to Taiwan.
Wow.
And by the next year, I'm in Taiwan. Mm-hmm. And I did, we did 6 weeks in food science. Then I came back and then I started developing the product. And then when Maria came, we had some issues. But we are back now, and we now have something that we've seen that we can grow to a more competitive stage. So there's always room for improvement. Mm-hmm. So we are trying to ensure that we improve our product as we go along. And thank God we got that Mafala breadfruit. We went to a breadfruit conference in Trinidad. And when we gave our presentation as Dominica, Dr. Marcos Garvey's son came and he called me and said to me, sit down. I want to give Dominica some breadfruit for now. I love your presentation. Hmm. And I thought he was making a joke. By the time I went back home, in a month's time, he sent down the plants. Wow. And these plants we call the Mafala breadfruit. And they are very, very good. The hurricane destroyed them, as I said. Like, I placed them back up. I tied them up. I ensure that they remain strong. And today, we call it the prolific bearer because we always have breadfruit. And it's heavier. It also takes more time before it ripe. It is crunchy. It tastes nice. You can roast it. Even though it's green, it's still sweet. It has a seed in it, and it's a very, very good breadfruit. And I think Dominica is poised, because when I saw the breadfruit, the Mafala breadfruit in Trinidad, it was so small, I tell myself, I don't want that. But when I told me they're going to send for me, I told my friends, let me tell you, when that breadfruit comes to Dominica, you're going to see the size. And so said, so done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're making so many, I mean, the breadfruit is so big.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a dream, as I said, and you have a passion, you will continue to develop your dream. And now, thank God, my children went to school, they went to university, and that sent them, agriculture that sent them to school and to university. And then now they are now part of the development, because they are all chemists, so they are part of the development of what we are doing as a family. And I think that we want to ensure that we always take it to another level, because I am not just a business, I'm not a businessman, I tell people, I'm an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Businessman, when he's going through challenges, he gives up. Entrepreneur always find a new way or an innovative way of coming up with something that can change his environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to talk about your different markets in terms of where you sell and the importance of including the diaspora. But listening to you, Mr. Banis, you know, I'm thinking it just speaks about the importance of venturing beyond Dominica, the importance of continuing your education in whatever field you're interested in. Because I get the impression, and you kind of alluded to it earlier, that many times... And we have to give people credit for wanting to try. But many times people see other people doing things. You know, somebody's doing hair products, so now I'm going to do hair products. But what is going to be your niche? What is going to be different in terms of what the other person is doing to give you that market advantage? So it just listening to you just tells me the importance of venturing beyond Dominica and continuing that learning process and building that network. Right? Because here you were doing a presentation, and then to have the son of Marcus Garvey come up to you and say, hey, I want to offer you something, just speaks about the importance of positioning yourself beyond Dominica. And now with the technology, you know, many people might say, well, I don't have money to take a flight to Trinidad. But with the technology, now you're able to do those things remotely. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yes, this is very, very important. And I can tell you, networking is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Because what networking does, it creates the environment for more business. It creates the environment that people can sell your business. I was thinking of something yesterday, and I was saying most times, people talk about market research,
mm-hmm.
right? And somebody will tell you, well, I can do your market research for you, and you have to pay them X amount, and they will go put all the papers together. But I am seeing market research as is something easy. You have a product, you get people to taste it, you get people to give their remarks on it, and also you look at the market that you want to target. And once you look at the market that you would like to target, you now prepare to target that market.
Mm-hmm.
And the research that you are really going to do is that's where the networking comes in. Like I went to I was in Grenada, and I had a few packs of breadfruit chips. And when I went there, I met a young lady from Dominica. And she said to me, you have any breadfruit chips? I said, I didn't bring, you know, I just brought a few. She said, I must get them. When I was in Dominica, I made sure I bought my breadfruit chips. Then we had a conference there, and here comes the Minister of Agriculture, or the Minister of Agriculture in Grenada, and he was saying that they have loads of tons of breadfruit in Grenada, they do not know what to do with it. Tons of breadfruit. So I pull out a bag and I gave to an African guy that was by me. And he told me, You are doing that? I tell him yes. And the guy took it, and the guy started looking at it and started turning it. And the guy said, man, this is really, really good. And then I told him, well, you need to taste it. And from there, people started sharing and enjoying, and because of that now, the network has begun.
Mm-hmm.
And people start ordering online, all right? And people are asking about it. So every session I go, what I do, I was ministering in a church, and I brought some. And I told them, some preachers bring books, right? Which is good. Some preachers bring different things, but I'm bringing something that can help you and motivate you to do something to help yourself.
Yeah, you're going to nourish their body and their souls.
All right. So when I shared the message, I shared with them, and I mean, these people were so excited mm-hmm. about that. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying. If you are a minister of the gospel, your job is to empower the people. Your job is to ensure that you build the capacity that you can get them excited to mm-hmm. get involved in something that will enable them to become self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. It's not just about us preaching and then taking a tithe, taking an offering,
yep.
and stuff like that. But you have to create the environment for them to be able to make, because if people are making money, they will give.
Mm-hmm.
You have to ask them to give, you have to beg them to give. Once you are sharing with them from your heart, they will give. So mm-hmm. we have to have a new mindset of how we teach people as kingdom people. I cherish my relationship with the Lord, and I want to make sure that I always tell myself I want to put the Lord first, but I want to make sure I empower people so they can experience not just thinking of heaven, but also building their life here on earth.
Yeah, and it's about the promise of the potential of the human being, and right. that is what you're tapping into. You're trying to think of, how can I maximize the potential of the people who are around me, right? Mm-hmm. How can I get the best out of everyone? And right. and remind me, because I think we also talked about, it's to the point now where people are asking you to become consultants.
Yes.
In the region. And I mean, that is very impactful, because it just shows, you know, the growth potential as we continue to look at what we're talking about. So tell us about the consultancies that are now opening up to you.
Because people want to develop not just a short term form of cash, but people want to.
You are listening to Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone. If you live in Canada, the US, and the UK, and are looking for Dominica products, including cocoa sticks, bay rum, coffee, soaps, crafts, and other popular Dominica items, then look no further. You can now shop on buydominicaonline.com, a secure, easy-to-navigate website selling a wide variety of Dominica-made and Dominica-inspired products. When you shop on buydominicaonline.com, you are helping to grow Dominica's economy. Go to buydominicaonline.com and enjoy home away from home.
Just listening to our pre-recorded interview with Mr. Adrian Banis, and you can already tell all the wonderful ideas that Mr. Banis has implemented to benefit the people of Dominica. And so I like to use Mr. Banis as an example of what many of us are trying to accomplish, because he is a man of action. He is a man who does not simply sit on his ideas, despite all the obstacles that he has faced along the way. Over the years, he continues to move forward. He continues to find creative ways to achieve the goals that he has set out for himself, whether it be in agro-processing, whether it be in his farm tours, whether it be in creating regional collaboration around the Caribbean to advance Dominica. He is certainly an example of someone we can all look up to. He's an inspiration for what many of us are trying to do with our own lives. I'm just concerned that many of us, you know, we have these wonderful goals and these wonderful ideas for moving our lives forward, but we always seem to get stuck. We always seem to get stuck for one reason or another, and we simply put our goals on the shelves, and then, you know, we sort of kind of get a little bit discouraged and depressed because we have not been able to fulfill those life goals. So I hope that you found the first portion of the interview of Mr. Banis quite inspirational, and that you will tune in next week for the second half of the interview with Mr. Adrian Banis out of Castle Bruce, Dominica. But as we move ahead with the program, I want to bring you our tip of the week. And again, we're looking at those goals that many of us have set out for ourselves. And you know, one of the goals that many people have for themselves, I think the number one goal that most people set out for themselves is weight loss. But a close second, I believe, is managing our finances. So many of us have the goal to manage our finances, whether it is to pay down high credit cards, whether it is to earn more income, it all begins with setting a plan, setting a budget for ourselves. Because if we do not know where we are, then how can we know where we're going? So the first thing we have to do when we think of managing our finances is simply setting up a budget. And I know that B word is an ugly word for many people, but it doesn't have to be complicated. I think many of us spend so much time overthinking things like budgeting, overthinking things like managing our weight and eating healthy, that we get overwhelmed and we simply do nothing. So this is what this program is about, creating simple ways that we can get over that stagnation, that inertia to move our lives forward. So this week, I wanted to take a look at how can we get our budgets into motion. As we see, the year is quickly coming to an end. As we see, the world is quickly coming to an end. I'm sure we do not want to start off 2024 on the same page that we did for 2023. We want to make sure we have a solid budget, a solid plan for managing our finances. So this particular article comes from askmoney.com. So www.askmoney.com. And the name of the article is How to Create a Household Budget Form. So how to create a household budget form. And again, it comes from askmoney.com. So it begins by saying budgeting is a pretty consistent buzzword in the world of personal finance, but there's a good reason for that. Your budget is the financial foundation you need in order to learn how to manage your money before pursuing other financial goals. From saving for a down payment on a new home to paying off debt like student loans, a budget is an amazing tool to help you plan out and track or even minimize your spending. After creating a budget, you may be surprised to see where your money's going, but you'll be glad you found out. For most people, the hardest part about budgeting is actually getting started. Questions like what should a beginner budget look like, and what is a balanced budget, make this entire process seem very daunting. Today, we'll show you how to get started by creating a household budget form that breaks down your finances into different categories for housing, transportation, utilities, and more. You'll be one step closer to reaching your financial goals after you create this form. So a really good article for those of us who have procrastinated with creating that budget we know will guide our financial decisions. So it continues. To create a simple household budget form, open a spreadsheet on your computer and add several columns. The first thing you'll do when creating your budget is list out all of your regular expenses. These are bills you pay, at structured intervals, such as once a month, with amounts that generally don't vary too much. Start with the larger expenses, such as your rent or mortgage payment. Keep going with everything from your car to your group fitness classes to your streaming subscriptions. Go through several months of bank statements and credit card bills to gain a better understanding of your spending. It's difficult to get the full picture of a household budget form if you don't include bills and expenses that can vary from interval to interval too. When it comes to credit cards, add the minimum payment as an expense, but also include your total balance. If your minimum payment is $100, you've been paying $200 for the last few months, write $200 down. If you pay off your credit card balance every month, put the amount varies widely. You can take the average from the previous 3 to 6 months to use as a starting point. So this is an article you will certainly want to take a look at. Again, it's from askmoney.com. And let's go back to the top so I can remind you of the title, How to Create a Household Budget Form. And I think part of the reason that many of us don't even get into, you know, how to do a budget and all that is because we do not make the time for it. So I hear many people say, oh, I don't have the time. I don't have the time. I don't have the time. Yes, you do have the time. If you create a schedule for yourself, most people have some downtime, maybe on a Sunday. I highly advise that if you're someone who, for example, you do a lot of cooking at home, you cook your Sunday dinner on Saturday, right? So at home, for example, we do laundry on Friday instead of Saturday, and that frees up Saturday to do the Sunday cooking so that on Sunday we have some downtime. And what do we do with that downtime? Absolutely. We try to spend some time relaxing. We go to church. We come home. But because Sunday dinner is already prepared, that gives us hours of additional time to work on important things like budgets, to work on important things like, you know, maybe planning a vacation or simply just relaxing. So we do have time. We do have time if we make the time available so that we can prepare important things such as budgeting. So I hope you found the information very valuable, and it is something that you can integrate into your life as we start to look at the goals for 2024, because 2024 is right around the corner, and I hope that we will all be in a better position than we are in 2023. And of course, if you're looking for tips for remaining consistent with your goals, you can always head on over to pushpast10.com, pushpast10.com. My book Push Past 10 is exactly what we're referring to with this program, How to Remain Consistent with Your Life Goals, and it gives you a step-by-step guide for doing so. For less than $10, you will be able to be consistent with the goals that you have set out for yourself. So I hope you enjoy being here with us for another episode of Untapped Potential. If this was your first time joining us, I hope that you will set your reminder to join us next week at the same time, 5:30 Eastern Standard Time, right here on TDN Radio, as we get powered up and energized for the week ahead and we remind ourselves of the important life goals that we are working on. So again, for more information about everything we do on this program, you can head on over to pushpast10.com, P-U-S-H, PASD10.com for more information. And while you're there, you can click on the past podcast episodes of Untapped Potential for any episodes that you may have missed along the way. You can also check out my other program, Roots Connections on Q95. And of course, you can send me an email at pushpastin@gmail.com if you would like to be a part of the movement. And again, on pushpastin.com, you can also check out our YouTube channel, which has all the videos of all the programs that we have done along the way. So again, thank you for being here for another episode of Untapped Potential. I look forward to being in your company next week at the same time. So until then, remember that your life challenges, the challenges you faced in the past, have prepared you for the challenges that you face today. So remember to tap into your potential. Stay strong, stay positive, stay engaged, stay active. Until we meet again right back here next week, I am Dr. Simone, and it has been great being with you. And so until next week.